Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Recording live, Voices Dentistry Day 1. Everybody, what's good?
What's up, man?
Hey.
Who do we got here?
Introduce yourself.
My name is Dr. Vin Nguyen.
Vin Nguyen.
Yes,
from the Nifty Thrifty Podcast.
Yes, yes. Nifty Thrifty. In the house.
We have Dr. Erin Elliott.
Whoop, whoop. I'm here.
Hashtag smoke show.
She is hashtag smoke show. And she's
I like that.
She was early on, she was a regular attendee.
Yes.
You haven't been on in a while.
I just think that one time, honestly. And I am now a Facebook stalker of Vin Nguyen.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That's okay.
People I tell you, talking about us.
I allow that.
I Photoshop his face on
I allow that. Yes.
And also joining us from California, Dr. Ashley Hovis.
Hello.
Josh.
Filipinas in the house.
So this is what we were talking about. I was going to say earlier. So we had this conversation the other day. It's funny. You know, we were talking about this equipment and you're too cheap to buy this equipment. But what's ironic is us white people have a problem because it has to be expensive enough or I think it's too cheap. I have to buy it. Like if it's too cheap, I will go to the next one that's more expensive just because I have this idea that if it's too cheap, it can't be good.
Yeah.
No, that's my problem.
Sometimes I do that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not just me.
Especially with food, you know?
Yes.
But dentistry, no.
Yes,
just food.
Patients don't deserve that.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Was that on the record or off the record?
it's all on and off the record. Well, Vin, you tell us what's new with you, man.
What's new with me? Not much. I just do, I'm an associate in my office, so I come in, check in, do my thing, go home.
Do you have a clock?
No, I don't have to.
That's good.
It's my body clock.
Okay.
My circadian rhythm. So I check in and check out with
in
that.
In and out.
Yeah. And so I don't have to worry about the business side of being the owner hat. But
do you like that?
Right now I do. But I think eventually I will go into being an owner.
And is that because of you financially want to be an owner because you want to make more money? Or is that because you want to be more owner because you want to have more responsibility?
Be honest, the money.
I think frankly that's the good question. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. And let me jump over to you, Ashley, because you're kind of, and to some degree, you're a better example. You know, were you ever an associate?
Yes,
you were an associate, and then you've made the jump full startup mode. You know, a lot of our listeners have seen followed your journey. Having this point, you're how long into this?
A little over a year.
Is the money? Is it better?
What money?
Is it all it's cracked up to be? Is it flowers and butterflies?
I am actually paying myself less than my hygienist. So I think I'm a bad example of that.
But so, okay, let's talk about this because this is it's interesting because frankly, people look at you and they see success, what they want to be. They want to emulate you because you're essentially doing the dream. You have a beautiful practice. You're doing it the way you want to do it. But it's not necessarily, there's hard steps about it.
Right. Absolutely.
So I'm curious to kind of hear what have been the things that you've noticed, like what have been the hurdles and what are the things that you're trying to battle right now? Like what are the
I know one of them because we were discussing it over the dessert table.
Exactly. So as an associate, I never had to take work home. Like I could shut it off and I made my percentage for the day and I was good. And as an owner, I'm actually paying myself a lot less and I'm taking home way more stress. And it's a lot. Cause now you're always thinking about the practice. And right now I'm in Scottsdale and I'm wondering how everything is going in the practice. Because I don't have the systems in place just yet. We're all just, it's all been such a learning experience. And for anyone who has watched my story, I like that you brought it up, that if they look at me, they think that it's such a success. But I would say never compare your journey with someone else's, especially on social media, because what we portray is our highlight reel.
Oh, I agree.
It doesn't show like the backstory. And a lot of the time, like especially if you've listened to our episodes with, with Michael and the Dental Marketer, I'm crying like every other week. And a lot of that is mom guilt and leading a team of young females. And where do you draw the line between being a friend and the leader? And I still want everyone to like me.
Sure. Well, yeah. And part, you know, it's interesting because, and Aaron, you could probably speak to this a little bit because I think you've talked about that. That's something that's hard knowing you, where it's hard to be, how do you separate being the leader, but also being the friend and making hard decisions in practice?
Well, I think I have evolved. And so that was early on. I would, I think we went out to dinner with my assistant and her husband. They watched my kids, like, because they are like your family. You know, it just evolved that way. But I do keep a little bit of a separation because I have to have that hard discussion with them. Now, I don't demand respect or anything, but and I've never demanded that they call me Dr. Elliot, but they do. Even when we're not in the office, they call me Dr. Elliot.
So you have to separate the office from the bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fact. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good thing. Me too. I have to do that.
Well, you have to do that in life in general, even with your bed partner.
Yes.
I have to have those hard discussions, and I think they know me well enough to know it's coming from a place of their success. And whenever I do, I bring it back to the patient. This is not about me not liking you or you're a horrible person. It's when you're on your cell phone and the patient sees it, they think that you're not giving them the attention. I always bring it back to the patient. When you have to get up every single procedure because you're not prepared, it makes it look like we don't know what we're doing, even though it frustrates the heck out of me. It really is about me. Bring it back to the patient. So I sit with her beforehand. Okay, this is what I'm thinking. This is what you'll need to lead her to a point where she, on her own, can see these things. So I know we were kind of talking about people come to me about so-and-so and so-and-so, and now my response is, okay, what's your solution? So now they've kind of stopped coming to me just to vent or nag, but to maybe be a part of the solution, not the problem.
And I think we're fortunate to some degree too, as, you know, males, because predominantly it's female team members, you know, and so if you're a male, they don't tend to come to us as much with the drama. Now, that's not necessarily a good thing because that means they kind of hack it out between
they
themselves.
They come to
sometimes.
Me because my partner's so laid back. They know that right. He'll just go in, yep, and then do absolutely
you
nothing
know,
about
so
it.
So that's hard. So in some ways, it's a positive because if you think about it that way, you can nail it on the head. But then, yeah, I can see where that's bad too. So Ashley, so here's my next question then. What are the biggest hurdles right now from you taking home more, you know, are your stresses more team-driven or are they more financially driven?
It depends on the time of day you ask.
Sure. When the team really gets fired.
Okay, 8 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock, no. I would say that I know exactly like what I want to incorporate in my office and where I want to take my office. And the fact that I'm a startup in California means that I still have a lot of fear with investing in technology.
Sure,
so
sure, 100%.
I struggle with, I have 4 chairs right now that are built out, and I want to build out the last 2 chairs, but I'm also scared of taking on more debt. And I also want to incorporate CEREC and having that available for our patients to do same day dentistry, but I'm scared of debt and I'm still paying off student loans. So I would say it's both.
So, gosh, and it's hard because ultimately, the problem is you're already betting big to win big because you invested in the practice and you invested in this.
Right.
You know, the hard part is, to some degree, I would tell you, you know, there's certain technology that's super beneficial because it brings direct ROI. And there's some technology that's beneficial because it has, you know, further down the road ROI, or it's a luxury, you know, and when you're in that mode of, you know, survival essentially, or you're trying to make sure that you can make it to the next, you know, paycheck and you can pay the team and you can take home money, you know, you have to kind of fight that battle and whatnot. What all are you doing dentistry wise?
So I do endo up at anteriors to premolars, crown and bridge. I'll do simple extraction. I always say simple with air quotes.
Which is perfect for a podcast.
Yes, air quotes. You air cannot quotes. See my
air She's quotes. Currently doing air quotes right now.
Stubby people.
Yes. Years. And I just purchased a BioHorizons implant system. So I plan on placing. See, and that took me so long to incorporate into my practice because of the dang fear that, oh my goodness, I don't have somebody over my shoulder anymore to bail me out if something happens.
What do you? I mean, like, don't, you know, is it worth? And part of it, my question is, because do you have relationships with oral surgeon or periodontist that could help?
Periodontist, yes.
So perfect. That periodontist probably places implants?
Yes.
So you have someone to bail you out. It's just maybe not be right there.
Right.
So it, you know, my thing is the mind, you know, your mindset has to be, how can I, you know, what are the solutions here to, because the hard part here is we end up being the biggest hurdle for.
We're the bottleneck.
We end up being the bottleneck.
Yes. I absolutely am the bottleneck.
Didn't we talk about this when you were out in Raleigh?
Yes. I'm so the bottleneck. I never realized how type A I was until I became a practice owner. I thought I was so laid back because I was an associate. Of course I'm laid back.
It's not your baby at that point.
It's not my baby. And now that it is my baby, I won't even delegate to my husband like what he can post on our Instagram, because that I want every word to be my voice.
And girl, I'm telling you, the biggest thing that is our growth is I delegate everything. I mean, my goal is, if it doesn't require a DDS to do it, why the heck am I doing it?
I need to be like you.
You can be.
I need to be.
So my thing is,
you have to cut your hair first, though.
You got to cut it all off.
And go a little bit white, some white face going on.
You were like the opposite of Samson. Like, you cut your hair and you got all this.
I did. I cut the hair. It was like game on. But my point, I don't do very many things well. But what I do well is I just kind of bulldoze my way into things and figure it out when I get there.
Jump in the deep end,
because what happens is you got to figure it out at that point. And like, and my thing is, the beauty of where you're at now is everything bets on you.
Right.
And like, how awesome is it that the dice are on like your hustle and your hard work? And so for me, like, the more debt I take on, the more pressure I put on, to some degree, the better I do, because I gotta make it happen or it doesn't happen. You know, because the flip side is most of us will get analysis by paralysis, you know, and just trying to, and it's a slow, that becomes a much slower form of growth.
I think that's every dentist's problem. I just want to just push them and just say, just do it. You got this. Like, you got this. You have the skills. We are smart. We somehow got through dental school.
Darn it.
Yes. And I think empowering your team, you know, we were talking about team issues earlier. And when I walk by and my old cadre, like, assistant says, I love my job. I mean, that's nothing better, because I've empowered her. I've given her the champion role in ortho and lab work. And she loves that. She's found her lane. And I'm not going to spend time doing that. So you just got to find what the strengths of each team member is and empower them. Take it off some of your plate.
I know. I need to.
Well, so let's back up, because it all sounds good in theory, but how does that become actually actionable and moving forward and like making decisions? And to me, you know, and we've talked a lot about it, obviously, with T and whatnot, is that if we're not breaking down what I have to do to get to the next step, and I'm not saying, okay, what is this short-term goal that I have to get to, then how are you getting there? Because if your goal is to have this beautiful practice in California where we have patients and an associate, it's great and all that stuff, that's all fantastic. But if you don't have, if you can't work backwards in a way that makes it happen, then that's how you get the analysis by paralysis. So you say, okay, well, what can I do next week that I do it? And then the beauty of where we're all fortunate about is we have a lot of people in our lives who can keep us accountable. You know, and that's something that we're so fortunate because we, all four of us, have such good community in dentistry. And really what has been such a blessing for me in that is being able to lean into people and saying, look, this is what I need to get done. I got to get done. Keep me accountable.
Tough love.
Yeah.
And one thing I cannot delegate is me going up on stage here soon. So I'm actually going to peace out.
I'll break a leg, Aaron.
And go.
We'll be
you nervous for me? Okay.
Bye, Aaron.
Thank you.
Break a leg.
So, Ben, what are you thinking now? Are you so into buying it? Are you now you're like, let's do it. Now I'm ready.
The term analysis by paralysis. That's very catchy. Did you come up with that?
I think it's actually paralysis by analysis.
Oh, maybe. Well, you should trademark it.
Paralysis by analysis.
I don't think it's trademarked yet.
I'll look into that. Trademark paralysis by analysis.
Yes.
Both of which are very, very paralyzing.
Yes.
Paralyzing.
So do you have that now? Or are you excited? Are you ready to go?
I think I'm ready. Well, the way it's set up right now is like, it's kind of like, so the owner is a friend of mine. He's a Brady Frank disciple.
Okay.
So he's in his mastermind. And so he's trying to do the pod thing.
Yeah.
Where you're buying multiple practices, having associates work there with the opportunity to buy in. So keeping low turnover of associates and giving a chance for associates to get some equity.
You know? No, it's huge.
So that's the future. And that's probably where I'm going to be headed.
Do you have a timeline for it?
Probably in the next 3 to 4 years, probably.
Why so long?
It's not completely set up yet. The dentist owned DSO model. So probably next couple of years. Maybe one to two years.
So here's my fear with this, and my problem. You know, and I don't want to get into too much detail, but the potential income you're missing out on could be substantial.
True.
A practice like that.
Yes.
And 3 or 4 years could be, because here's the deal. Ashley's in the hardest part of where it's at.
Yes.
Because I would argue probably the hardest part is not even at the beginning, is you're still super excited. It's that 1 year hurdle of, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. And I'm having to deal with real life struggles of got to keep this thing afloat to get to the next hurdle.
Yeah.
But in year 2, 3, she's going to be,
mm-hmm.
it's all going to come full circle and she's going to be, and that just puts you 3 more 4 years behind.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the only benefit to this would be like, you're not alone. Like, so if you're with other dentist owners, you don't own the whole pie, you own part of it. But it also allows you to, you know, if you are the type of dentist that, you know, wants to become a multi-practice owner, I think this is the way to go. You know, having little pieces of, or not little, but equity in multiple offices. And that way it'll also allow you to cut back on days that you work. Versus being just a solo doctor.
I agree on that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but
no. Well, yeah. I would argue that it's going to be harder to do that moving forward.
Yes, the way dentistry is heading, it's going to be. It's not impossible, but it's tough. It's tough. So,
Sully, how many days a week are you working?
So I worked 167 last year, and my goal is to go to 140 this year, which would be like 3 days a week.
I was like, I can't do the math, but that sounds like not too many.
And your dad is still practicing?
Dad's still practicing.
Okay.
Which is helpful. Man, and I'm in an insanely unique, good situation because of that. Because you get it. When you're gone, you don't know what's happening with the practice. When I'm gone, the practice runs. You know, I'm getting, you know, passive income. So to some degree, that's my point, you know, what we were talking about then is that sooner rather than later, the next part of like your 18-month plan should be an associate.
Associate, right?
Because it has to start to, and you're going to need one before you think you need one. And part of it's going to be, okay, well, you know, because we talked, okay, are you doing any sleep?
Not yet.
Are you doing any perio?
No.
Are you doing any ortho?
Invisalign.
Okay. Are you doing, and you're doing no implants right now?
No.
So, sleep, perio, implants, you're not doing any molar endo?
No.
So what's crazy is, and because you're doing implants, you're not doing any bone grafts.
Dang.
I mean, when you think about it, there's a
referral dentist.
I'm doing buckle pits on 19 and 30.
Really? I refer those out.
I wish I was referring
I refer
them.
Those well, out.
In Tennessee, you can have expanded function, so I literally am referring them in. I'm referring them to my
Can I just ask, how much are you paying an expanded functions assistant?
I'm a bad person to ask.
Do you not know the numbers?
Well, I pay everyone off commission, so it's totally weird.
Yeah. You can do that in Tennessee?
I mean, I think you can do that whenever.
I think he means to say he pays them in cash under the table.
Yeah, I don't pay any taxes.
Yeah.
None. Zero. No. I pay them off. They all have a base that's basically minimum wage, but they're really all paid off commission.
Okay. I need a.
Oh, it's a long story.
Oh, I know. See, I.
California has the EFTAs.
So I just interviewed an EF2, and she wants $43 an hour.
Holy cow!
So, yes. So this is where it all boils down to. If you say yes to that, and she could do your fillings, because this is the problem. I think too often we get up, no offense, in the cost of something.
Right.
Okay. And what I mean by that is that's insanely expensive.
Yes.
But if hiring her allowed you to go place implants,
yes,
that's a phenomenal
decision.
Which
is why I am considering it. Yes.
But if hiring her allows you to go play on Facebook. then it's not.
Hey, but if Facebook is the main driver,
then maybe that's a poor decision. But do you need new patients?
Who doesn't need new patients? Everybody always needs new patients.
But yeah. But if you told me if you had, how many new patients are you getting a month?
We're still around 50.
So
I don't do.
I would argue 50 new patients is plenty to be productive on. What's the goal? 50 is phenomenal. In an area where you are, the kind of competition you're in, 50 new patients is insane. So I would argue that you have less of an intake problem and either more of a diagnosis or more of a not ability to do the dentistry they need.
Right.
Problem.
Right.
So you can do one of two things. You can either go learn how to do the dentistry or find someone to do the dentistry.
Right.
Or you can just keep bringing on new patients, which is going to do what for you? More buckle pits?
Yeah.
More hygiene.
No, that's so true.
And so, and it annoys me because we'll get to some degree, I don't know, well, we have this idea that it's a patient intake problem.
Right.
But I'll tell you, we're getting 30 new patients a month, but my patient's worth more than your patient.
Right.
Because we're doing.
You're doing a ton of.
Exactly.
Here's
what I want you to do.
Okay.
I think everybody should do this. Go back, figure out your 2018 collections, how many patients you saw, unique patients, mm-hmm. and then divide that number.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to give you your annual patient value, essentially. What one patient is worth to you for that year.
Okay.
It may be $300, $350, $500, et cetera. And then the goal for you should be, I would encourage you, is to figure out how can I increase that per patient amount? Because if I can increase my average patient dollar across the board, then a $10 increase is exponential
right.
to the one new patient, or the 10 new patients a
right.
month, which is incremental. You follow me?
Yes.
So adding implants for you is going to be huge.
Right.
Because the odds are is you have patients who are missing teeth
right.
and want teeth back.
Right.
So if you learn to do that, you now increase every single patient that you're worth, because that gets spread out across all of that, obviously. And you're seeing less people. You know, you could say, are you in sedation?
Yes. Well, not yet, but...
But soon.
But soon,
that's fantastic.
Yes.
So, sedation, that's a huge, and that's where I go on is sedation.
Are you doing IV sedation?
I'm doing oral now, and I'm actually going in May to get my IV.
Oh, nice.
So, I'm pumped about that. Because the same thing, for me, it became a hurdle that
right.
I need to be able to do IV to do stuff that I want to do.
I want to ask you, since we're talking about higher end dentistry, what are your financial, what does your financial menu look like for your patients, both of you?
You're talking about appetizers or main entrees?
The main entree?
The desserts.
Desserts, huh? We
pretty much. Do you have a treatment coordinator, a financial coordinator or something? Do you present treatment?
We do have a treatment coordinator, yeah. We pretty much keep everything in-house. There's very little things that we refer out. You know, we do all endo, we place implants, restore implants, wisdom teeth, IV. We have a doctor that's IV certified.
Yep.
So there's very little.
You're not doing wisdom teeth? See, there's so much. I bet you see a lot of wisdom teeth.
Oh,
people.
So many. I refer so much out, it's ridiculous.
So have you thought about bringing that in?
Yes.
Bringing
a doctor, no.
Come in, you call an oral surgeon and say, hey, I'm going to pay you 40%. Of everything you do.
Okay.
You just show up, I'll have the patients all scheduled, you knock out 8 pairs of wisdom teeth in a day, you get 40% of that, no overhead.
Start with one day a month first, and then do two, and then eventually,
Okay. I will, yeah. I sh- Oh, but I need more chairs.
Okay, so do you? How many chairs do you have?
I have four.
Okay, four is a lot.
And I just hired my second full-time hygienist.
So why can't you work out of one that day?
Okay, that's true.
Why do you need two chairs?
Because I always run behind. Okay. I talk too much.
are we doing something that can... what are you doing to help that? Do you have an assistant that's in charge of making sure you're on schedule?
I have one assistant who's really good about telling me that I'm
okay. Well, start listening to her.
I know. I get that you're
the problem some of the times, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And look, there's value in that. Building that rapport and that stuff is valuable. But at some point, you gotta be like, because remember when you're giving it to that patient, you're not giving it to someone else.
Someone else. So true.
All right, Ben, keep going. Financial on your menu. So you do it with them. You keep most of it in house.
The only thing is, we do it's not an official payment. What do you call it? We don't have an official one. Basically, if they're cash patient, then we'll do like half off the regular fee. So it's almost kind of like
you have a lot to pay in ramen.
Yeah.
Go in there.
My specialists pay me in food, so
that's good. Yeah. That's good.
And I never refer anything to them, so I don't know why they still give us food.
I kind of have a unique philosophy in this, right? So, and I think it would to some degree attribute well. So my thing is, my number one goal is that we close.
Right.
And to some degree, depending on the case, I want to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
Okay.
Because I would argue that at the point you are in your practice, people can pay you in other ways than just money.
Oh, what are you saying?
All right? Not sexual favors. Maybe sexual favors, but yeah. Not sexual favors. All right?
I don't mind that.
But what I'm saying is, let's say someone walks in and they need a couple crowns or something like that. And we're having trouble closing the deal, but they're willing. They can put down X amount of money and they can make monthly payments. Are you slammed, fully booked every day?
We're actually booked into March.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So we're going to back up then. We're not even going to go down that route. So if you're booked up to March, then why aren't you becoming... That's unique then, because what's making you not profitable?
Because my time is spent doing a lot of class twos. Oh my gosh.
Okay,
quadrant dentistry.
So here's what we need to do.
So that's why I'm going to take on that EF2.
You ready for this pearl?
Yes.
Hold out your hands. I'm going to drop the pearl. Catch it. All right. Now hold the pearl. Here we go.
Okay.
What does it look like?
It's beautiful. It's an imaginary pearl. Why don't you block book fillings?
I don't know. So I literally just had this.
Tell them you can only do freaking two fillings a day.
Oh my. So... Literally, I just had this conversation with my office manager, Judy. She booked me all day restorative, fillings all day long. And I had a migraine at 5 o'clock because I was so exhausted.
And you probably lost money.
I was seeing double vision. I was like, this is ridiculous. We made $5,800 between me and a hygienist. So I'm like, this is awful.
So I would tell you, so potentially then an EFTA makes a lot of sense for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you have that many fillings,
yeah,
then you either diagnose less, which you can't necessarily do that.
wait until they're crowned.
Wait until they're crowned. That solves that problem. Or you need to...
I need to hire an EF2.
Well, but even... So what I would do before that is the smarter move from a business standpoint is to not do that first. It's to block book it first.
So you say,
okay, these are the only two slots you can do fillings.
Okay.
If they're closed, push it out.
Okay.
I would rather sit there and do nothing for an hour.
That's what
than
I
do
told her. Yes.
Okay. And then that way you have space for more crowns.
Right.
Now more. Because look, with implants getting started, you're going to need more time.
Right.
Maybe you could do more ortho. Maybe you could, let's talk about Invisalign. Are you delegating all that or are you still doing something?
Delegating.
Good. Okay. So we can move on from that.
Well, I write the prescriptions.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's good. And it's endo, it's anything that produces more than a filling.
Mm-hmm.
So I would seriously make a point to look at the schedule and say, we are blocking things out to only allow myself to do certain procedures during certain times.
Yeah.
That's
block,
what I do.
Block scheduling.
I only do one freaking filling a day.
That's amazing.
And if I have to do more, they're probably going to lose the job.
So
I'm booked out like 2 months for fillings.
That's amazing.
But I'm booked out like 1 day for implants.
Ah, oh, love that.
So I have like tons of availability for the shit I want to do.
Right.
And no availability for the crap I don't.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So
because you have been, and what a luxury position to be in though, right. Ashley, because most people, when they say I am paying myself less than the hygienist, it's because they're sitting there twiddling their thumbs because they're not booked out.
Yeah.
They don't have patience.
No, I have a ton of money sitting in the bank because I want to outfit my last two operatories and I want to invest in technology.
Okay.
That's why I'm not paying myself.
But that's
more.
Okay then. So you're hustling essentially and delaying gratification to
yes.
do that. Well, then that's
yes.
awesome. And more people should do that.
Well, I have the luxury of being married to a physician.
Sure.
Who which makes helps. Money. Thank goodness. Thank goodness someone is in
she
this
got,
relationship.
She got sugar daddy.
But the flip side of that is say you're not. Say you're a single mom doing it.
Right.
You know, you can take more money and still save money away and make it happen. You know, and you don't have to pay. I mean, look, like a Combium, for example.
That we just bought.
That we just bought. That
yes.
In theory, with you placing implants, that should cash flow month one.
What are you charging for a cone beam?
Well, scan? Whatever I can get reimbursed, like a pan.
Okay, that's what we do too. Do you guys do that too?
We write it off.
free,
off.
Which
we
I
do
love
it free.
That.
We do it
because,
free.
Because to me, that's the point is,
but the
that,
thing is,
it's
we
a
take,
loss leader.
We take a CT on all
every
endo.
Patient.
Everybody.
Are you taking
all
on every
endo.
Patient?
Yeah.
Are you taking one? You're not taking one on every patient?
A CT?
Yeah.
No.
Oh my gosh,
no.
Ben.
No. Yeah. We take it for implants and mole endos.
So what about all the patients that have that you're missing because you're not taking them?
I don't know.
So you have this beautiful, expensive machine.
Yeah.
And you're not even shooting it.
We take panos.
oh, my
man.
Gosh. I'm going to lose my mind right now. oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Ben, can I ask you a serious question?
Yeah.
Do you believe that combing shows better idea of what's going on than a Panorex?
It does. It does.
Do you believe that patients get better care with cone beams?
They do.
Do you believe that you're allowed to give more predictable and effective ways of doing dentistry to your patients and prognosis with cone beams?
Yes. I think I know where this is leading
so
to.
So why the hell are you taking a cone beam on every patient?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to ask us at the next meeting.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I had to lose my mind over here. Like, yeah. Biggest no brand. Put out your hands, Ben. Put out your hands. I'm giving you a pearl.
Oh.
Now take that pearl and go back and make it happen.
I put it on my neck.
Good.
Okay.
You can keep it there.
All right.
Sleep with it on your pillow. I am shocked right now.
Yes.
So you told me patients get better care.
Yes.
You're able to diagnose more dentistry.
Yes.
But we're not taking them on a patient's.
Yes.
Okay. Ben's
not,
crazy.
Not every patient. Not every patient.
Yeah, yeah. Ben's crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
But I still want to go back to your financial menu.
Okay, financial menu. Well, because I kind of went in a weird direction. Okay, at the straight question like you asked it, we have a couple options. First thing is, if you pay up front, you get a 10% discount. Pay up front, ready
10%.
To go, 10%.
Okay.
Okay? And this is not like on a filling. This is on like in theory, you could
what
do it on a filling.
What are you charging for a single implant?
$1,500.
Okay.
I'm a believer that you should charge nothing for your first five. You should charge $500 for your next five. You should charge $1,000 for your next five. And then maybe then you get to your fee. Mm. Why?
Because it's building my confidence.
Bingo. Because it has nothing to do. It has everything to do with the more you do, the better you get. The more you do, the more confident you are. The more you sell, the better you are. It's the circle of life.
Okay, back to your financial
okay.
menu.
How's everyone doing?
10% straight up discount if you pay in full up front.
Okay.
After that, depending on what it is, if it's something that isn't done that one day, like an implant, it's going to be a process. Yeah. Okay, you can do typically do three payments over the timeline that it takes to get done. So third down, third in the middle, third at the end. We'll do, obviously, Care Credit Lending Club. And now we'll do... I have gotten to the point where I literally give Aubrey, who does all our that sort of stuff, carte blanche to be like, get it freaking done. So like one case we did like, it was like two overdentures for the implants. I wanted to do it because it'd be a great, because look, if the more I do, the better I do, the better I get, et cetera, right? Plus, if I can, let's say my cost for one overdenture is 4 implants. So let's just do easy math. That's $800. Locators, that's $100. So we're now at $1,200 plus a denture, we're at $1,500. So let's pay the patient can pay $3,000. But I'm going to document the crap out of this. They're going to give me a killer testimonial. That's some value, right? Like if you can share, like how important is this telling a story?
Are
you gonna, if you're gonna be on the podcast?
Oh, super important.
Right. So a lot of times I'll just tell her, look, you freaking get the deal done. Do what you do. Find a way to make it valuable to us. We can get paid in more of the ways than money. But the majority of mine, because money is important, are 10% up front, payment plans, and care credit link club.
Okay. So you do not offer in-house financing?
Wow. We do offer in-house finance. Vin never ceases to amaze me.
Vin pulled out a Suntory Whiskey Toki and a
Johnny Walker.
Oh my gosh, I got a story. This
wine cask blend.
This is going on my story.
This is fantastic. Yes, we do offer payment plans.
Let me line it up for you so it looks nice.
Typically with payment plans, I want like 20% down.
For payment plans?
Yeah.
Why? Why 20%?
Because it sounded good. Like, because here's the problem. Ashley asked this question, and the reality of what Aubrey tells you is it's different every day.
Like payment plans.
To some degree. Because I'm like, because to me, how bad do I want to do the case?
Ah.
How expensive is the case going to cost me? Is it 5 visits? Is it 1 visit? I mean, if it's 1 visit, I can knock something out. It's going to make a huge difference. Well, sometimes I'll just do it.
Yeah.
Like I had a guy the other day. He's knocked out his 4 front teeth. He has cystic fibrosis. He's in a wheelchair. He wants to speak because he has this killer story, but he's missing his 4 front teeth. Well, I decided before we worked up the treatment plan, I was going to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
Like if he says it's free, like if he had not come any money, then
you still would have gonna.
I was still going to do it.
Wow.
Because to me, there's so much value in the experience, me learning, the marketing I can use from it, the story I can tell, what that does to, I mean, it's just, I mean, you'll get it. Do you do a small giveaway in your office?
No.
Oh.
But I'm going to start.
I mean, perfect.
Yes.
Dude, pay attention, Ashley. Jeez.
I am. I'm tagging you guys.
All right.
All right.
So we're starting with the Suntory Toki whiskey. It's a non-aged, but it's a young whiskey. It's easy to drink, very smooth. Not too complex, but easy to drink.
Well, you're not supposed to shoot this, though, right?
No, just sip.
You're supposed to sip.
Oh. Yeah. You could down it if you want. So, come by.
Ooh, that's nice.
Oh, that is nice.
It is young.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like my
It's not hard to drink.
Was it ready?
Both of these go for around $30, so I kind of want to keep the same price range to kind of compare.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's good.
Yeah, so.
Oh, wait, you already drink?
It's
oh,
a budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
You already drink it?
Yeah, okay. I drank it already. Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. I thought we were sipping.
It's a small sip, so might as well. So this is a wine cask blend. So it's going to smell sweet.
Oh, it's good.
It's going to smell sweet. You can actually be able to smell like the wine flavors from it. So it's different.
Oh, I'm going to...
Have y'all had a fireball already or no?
I don't do
Did
fireball.
Did you have one?
I don't do fireball.
Yeah, it's nasty.
The cinnamon just...
This was just in your backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's almost gone.
So last year, at Voices Industry, I got in trouble because I brought 2 cases of beer in a cooler.
You got in trouble for that?
Yeah, because my cooler leaked.
Oh.
So like when we left, it was like soaking wet underneath.
I'm such a girl.
You might like this one. It's sweeter.
I want beer.
Try this one.
All right, let's go get some beer. Here, a minute. All right, any other questions, thoughts, concerns?
I'll finish yours.
No. Okay, I have a question for you.
All right, let's hear it.
So, my new patient, everyone knows you're supposed to get new patients in, preferably within a week, right, of them calling your office.
I like the person more.
You like the
Yes, person. Correct.
So, we were pushing our new patients out 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we're totally losing on massive opportunity. So, I hired a second hygienist. The second hygienist is amazing, but she needed full time. So I couldn't just, she needs full time in order to leave her job. So I did. So now I have two full-time hygienists. So essentially, I'm watering down the schedule. How do you handle holes? Are you, because my, so this is exactly what I'm dealing with right now. So the hygienist that I had prior, that my OG hygienist, she's upset because now we sent her home early. So now she's losing hours because now there are two hygienists to feed. Okay. So what do you do? And but I also know that we needed to have another provider to bring patients in.
Right. So here's what I'll tell you. It's important to be very upfront with and honest with your team, especially when you're hiring people, especially when you're growing, that their role is going to have a lot of different hats. So for instance, I graduated, came out, joined the practice. We needed to hire somebody. First thing we needed was an assistant. We were just looking for good people. We found a hygienist. We said, Kendall, here's the deal. We want you to be a full-time hygienist. You've been trained to be a hygienist. Right now, the immediate need is that you're going to be our ad hoc. Whenever we need a patient, whenever like there's availability, we now have instant availability. You're the hygienist. But when you're not, it may be assisting. It may be turning over a room. It may be calling people. It may be whatever. So there's significant value in people who are flexible and being able to wear multiple hats that don't necessarily do the job description that they went to school for. And so what I'll tell you is, and then the flips, the follow-up question to that typically is, so you pay them like a hygienist. 100%. No problem with that. Because they're the one, and they can still bring a ton of value as they grow. Because look, hygiene is one of those things that I swear, it's a, if you build it, they will come. If you added another one in 6 months, another one in 6 months, another one in 6 months, in theory, you could always be growing. Because hygiene then becomes your cap. Because you can only see as much as your hygiene can allow. So if you're getting 50 new patients a month, in theory, if you are retaining all of them, you should be adding a hygienist like every 3 months. Does that make sense? So the fact that you're not tells me that we're probably losing some patients, or they're getting kind of left behind. And two, we're not either maximizing our recall or, you know, whatever it is. And so that hygienist, so the last thing I would be doing is sending a hygienist home. I'd be saying, look, if you want to work here, if you believe in me, if you believe in our vision, if you believe in our message, then your role right now when we're all freaking grinding to make this happen is going to be sometimes cleaning the toilet or calling patients.
No, have them do recall. Have them do recall.
I mean, recall's huge.
Call patients, yeah.
Okay, so that's the thing, though. So you give them a list of patients. I mean...
No. They need to find the patients. Why are you giving them the list of patients?
Okay.
I mean, it's easy to run that report, whether it's like Eaglesoft or Dentrix.
Well, I was going to say, it's really easy to look busy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I know how to look busy. I can like stare at a list.
Then you got the wrong people.
Okay. Would you say that your hygienist, does she like to talk to people on the phone? Or does she hate it?
No. I don't think anybody really likes to talk to people on the phone.
Okay. So this is what you do. You set up a free Google Voice number.
Okay.
And then you're going to Google Voice text message these patients, you know.
You have Weave, don't you?
Having them come in.
Do you have Weave?
Yeah. What's your phone? Do you have Mango or whatever?
I have Yappy.
You can text patients. Can you text patients to Yappy?
Yes. Yes, I think.
Okay. I don't know. I have Yappy, but I don't know if I can do that.
I think we can.
Look, my point is, find a way to do it. These are all, no offense, but these are all shitty excuses. And frankly, it's coming from you of don't let them do that. Because to me, if they're, and you should, to some degree, you should take disrespect of it. Because if they're literally, if they're looking busy and not working to look busy to not have to work, then they don't respect you. They don't, right. And ultimately, that's a hard thing to acknowledge. But And that starts with us. That's a leadership thing. There's a book. I don't know who wrote the book. I don't know who to give credit for. Maybe it's Extreme Ownership. I think that is it. Where you should, every single decision, everything that you get pissed off at, you should look at it from a perspective of what did I not do that allowed that to happen?
I think you could be a psychiatrist, Sally.
You think?
Yeah.
Podcast
I think so.
Psychiatrist?
Oh, there
Dude,
you go.
Do you want to do motivation?
Tele-psychiatry.
Paralysis by analysis.
Yes. Trademark that too. Yes.
So should I build out my other two rooms?
Here's the thing. You want someone to tell you everything.
Eventually, yes. Eventually you will, right?
What? Well,
eventually you will.
Eventually I will.
So.
Well, if I get an EF2 to do my restorative.
Here's what I would tell you. And I don't want to give you advice. I would tell you that. And this is, I love this quote because this is what my dad told me. This is what my granddad used to always say. He talked about, you know, Linda Miles. Linda Miles is like a, you know, figurehead in dental consulting. And
I know Robert Miles.
You know Linda?
You know who Robert? There. Remember Robert Miles? That lady. Song, Children. That's so, you guys are too young. This is like early. This is like early like.
It's the
like
millennial in his podcast.
Early trance. Robert Miles, Children. Man, you guys don't know that? It's probably from like early 2000s.
Our listeners are like, what the heck is he?
Third Eye Blind?
Right, oh, that I can get.
Oh, yeah.
I can get on board with. There we go. Jumper.
Okay. Anyways, what are you saying?
Oh.
The quote?
The quote was, whenever you... She was talking about team members, but essentially it applies to everything. Whenever you add shit or grow shit or add team members, everything, it's not additive. The problems don't become additive. They become exponential. So until you got your shit running with good with four ops... All adding two more ops is going to make the shit even crazier. So I would tell you, yeah, the 12-month, 18-month plan should be to add two ops probably. But in the meantime, you got to figure out, okay, what the heck? I need to be making sure that I'm doing everything I possibly can in these ops before I do that. Because guess what? If you just got that many ops, well, now you're just doing even more fillings and more ops.
That would really suck.
Yeah. Like, imagine they were stagger booking filling so you could just go chair to chair now.
Oh, man. Yeah. No. That's like a nightmare of a day.
Have you shared your vision with your team? Like, do they know what you want? Do they know your dream?
We've talked about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh?
They know what your ideal day looks like? You've written down, like, what the perfect day for Ashley looks like?
The perfect day for Ashley would be all hygiene checks.
So, but then, but that's not, we'd laugh?
I would, dude, if I could just sit and talk to people all day long.
Then how do we build that practice?
How do we, need to have people working for me.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
My point, I'm never going to tell you that's stupid. I'm going to tell you that's, well, then why aren't you doing that?
Right. No, but I
thought you had an associate.
So,
next to conversation, had associate.
We'll edit that.
Look, you're going to have associates. Every associate's going to be a learning experience.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with having an associate and not working out.
Tell us really quick. Party. Tell us what's your vision for your practice?
So, I want to have a state-of-the-art like practice doing high-end dentistry. With all digital workflow, but I only want to do clinical 2 days a week. And I want to get off at an early time that I can actually see my three kids. And on some days I would love to drop my kids off at school. So it sounds like I really do need to hire other doctors.
And be profitable. If you don't want to be profitable, I think you're fine. Just keep doing what you're doing.
I actually want to retire next year. I just want to check the box that...
Hey, I did it.
I did it.
Startup.
I did a startup.
Successful.
Cool.
Sold it. I'm out.
I'm out. Mic drop. I would love
it's
that.
A lot of work.
No, I would love to like podcast more with Michael. And make the making of something bigger and more impactful for people going through this process.
Because but your team doesn't know that. Your team doesn't know that.
No, and... Honestly,
see, they need to know that.
But I don't actually want them to listen to the podcast. And that is why...
We're so popular. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, I would love it for my team to listen to the podcast.
But when you're venting about HR and I'm talking about teams...
They should know.
True that, true that. Sometimes she talks about some people and we're like, oh, we can't.
Maybe not do that. Yeah. I mean, look, but the argument there is I'd probably just tell my team. I'd probably tell them break their face. Like, you know, I mean, if you ask any of my team, they know what I want. Like, I've made it unbelievably clear.
What do you want?
I want to work less, make more money for all of us. Like, they would, without a doubt.
Would they still make the same?
Oh, no, I want them to work less and make more money.
Okay. Can you talk about your commission system?
We got to interview him.
Yes.
Yeah, let's work smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.